Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 725 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a Marvel Chronology episode, and today I'm going to be continuing the Thanos reading order by looking at Marvel Feature number 12 from November 1973. It's written by Mike Friedrich. We have art by Jim Starlin and Joe Sinnott. Letters are by M. Royer. Colors by L. Lessman. So the issue starts out and Thing is walking through the desert and he's not happy about it. Again, it's Mike Friedrich scripting here, so the dialogue's a little hokey and clunky, a little bit of its time. You'll forgive it. That's part of the reason I was so happy when Starlin took over the scripting solo for the Captain Marvel title. But anyway, Thing's walking through the desert, and we get some text that says, "The desert sun burns blood red in the southwestern sky, scorching sand, roasting reptiles, and quickly evaporating whatever patience Ben Grimm, alias the Thing, might possess." And sure enough, the Thing is sort of venting, I guess you would say, saying this is a revolting development. Who'd ever think Ma Grimm's boy'd be spending his days padding across a desert so dry that a witch's kiss would be wetter than this? And he thinks back to the previous issue where the Thing and the Hulk were battling Kurgo, and the Hulk was able to leave after because, as the Thing puts it, he can bound over the sand like a mutated jackrabbit. But unfortunately, Thing doesn't have that ability, so he's got to walk. And to make matters worse, he's got this scaly, orange, rocky skin, which only makes the sun feel hotter. So as he's walking along, he hears a sound. It sounds like a small jet. And before he can even react, Iron Man swoops down and kind of gives him a flyby. And that only makes Thing even more mad. "Well, I'll be blammed. He flew right over me and didn't even blink. Of all the crummy deals, when I get a hold of that guy, I'm going to, twist his arm and make him give me a ride home." And Iron Man's thinking that, yeah, I bet the Thing's mad at me right now, but there's really no way that I could have stopped. Not when I'm hunting down the biggest threat the galaxy's ever faced, not to mention the universe. And we get a flashback where Iron Man is thinking about his recent battle in Iron Man 51 with Thanos alongside Drax the Destroyer. And that's the reason he's in this desert. Recently Thanos was able to obtain the Cosmic Cube, and obviously Iron Man knows the power of that device, and they need to find a way to defeat Thanos. And since Iron Man doesn't really have any leads, and the Avengers just got their butt kicked by the Controller, who's Thanos's viceroy on Earth, Iron Man thought, well, maybe I can go to his former base on Earth. It's really the only lead that Iron Man knows about to try to find Thanos' whereabouts. But when he gets there, he thinks to himself, well, this place is as deserted as the moon, but I still can't help feel like I'm being watched. And sure enough, as he turns away to investigate, we see behind him that the Blood Brothers are there, these two minions of Thanos that we first saw show up in Iron Man 55. And they actually call Thanos. One Blood Brother is about to attack Iron Man, and the other says, no, you can't do that. We've been commanded to never act without specific permission, and you know what kind of punishment Thanos metes out to those who disobey him. So they do call in to Thanos asking, can they take out Iron Man, basically? And the other Blood Brother says, yes, call him, because I thirst for revenge. Meanwhile, Thing is following Iron Man, saying that tin-suited freak touchdown just over the rise, and I'm going to show him how it feels to be a living hamburger. So again, it's the Mike Friedrich scripting that makes it a little hokey, especially when it's the Thing talking. So the Thing says, turning Iron Man into hamburger is not going to get him home any quicker, most likely, but it will make him feel better, and it'll be a lot more fun than squashing sand dunes, is how the Thing puts it. And then he yells out, "Iron Baby, the Thing's coming to get ya!" Git, with as in G-I-T. So, yeah, definitely Mike Friedrich doing the scripting here, as I said. So, currently on Titan, Thanos is there on the moon. He's answering the call from the Blood Brothers. He has the Cosmic Cube in hand, and he does grant them permission to kill Iron Man. So as Iron Man continues to investigate the base, he is indeed attacked by the two Blood Brothers, and he kind of holds his own at first, but once the Blood Brothers start working in tandem, he quickly gets overpowered. And I guess I never realized, maybe because they show up after this issue. I just didn't realize how powerful these Blood Brothers are. But, you know, they're clearly of an alien race. They're clearly a match for Iron Man himself. Like, maybe Iron Man could take them on one at a time, but both of them and being inside in this base where he doesn't have a lot of room to maneuver and strike from a distance, he's kind of getting his butt kicked. So he does manage to zap them both, and he says that blast only knocked him off balance, but if my foot jets don't fail me, I can rock it off for some Avengers reinforcements. And correct me if I'm wrong, aren't they called boot jets? I've never seen them called foot jets before, but anyway, Iron Man is doing exactly what you would expect him to do, right? He's going to get outside, he's going to call for reinforcements, he's going to improve his odds by getting out of the confined space. So as he flies toward the door, unfortunately, it's at the same time that the thing is walking into the door. And as Iron Man turns to look behind him to make sure he's not being pursued, at that moment, the thing is steps into the doorway. And sure enough, they they knock into each other and basically knock each other out right as the Blood Brothers get outside. And they're kind of gloating about it and saying, well, you know, what's the thing doing here? The Fantastic Four, he's, you know, so far from his usual home, but it looks like he's unconscious. And right as he says that, the thing starts to stir. And the Blood Brother says, no, I was mistaken. It's phenomenal how he was able to recover so quickly. And the other Blood Brother says, yeah, but he's still outnumbered 2-1, and we're stronger. And so as Thanos looks on, he sees the Blood Brothers engage with the thing. And the thing is having sort of the same issue that Iron Man was having, being outnumbered. And these, again, foes are just really physically superior. They're as strong as the thing, stronger than Iron Man probably. And we also learn why they're called the Blood Brothers, because as Thing is struggling to get up, one of them manifests these fangs coming out of his mouth and tries to bite Ben Grimm on the neck. And we learn through some text boxes that these Blood Brothers are galactic vampires. And so things like, oh man, it's a good thing that I have this rocky skin. I'm actually grateful for it this time, because it prevented this Blood Brother from basically biting down on his neck and sucking his blood. So the thing is still outnumbered 2-1, but he's kind of mad, and it's that anger's helping him sort of hold his own. But it's not too long before the Blood Brothers start to get the upper hand once they're both recovered. But luckily at that moment, Tony Stark, Iron Man, regains consciousness and teams up with the thing. And together, they're able to subdue the Blood Brothers. And once Thanos, who's been observing all along, sees that the Blood Brothers are likely to lose, he does what he always does. And as he complains to Death about the fact that these Blood Brothers lost, Thanos says he's been watching through the Cosmic Cube. He says the Earthmen have triumphed, and in doing so have demolished my base on Earth, a major beachhead. And the Blood Brothers knew well the penalty for failure. There can be only one fate. And as I said, we see this beam of energy shoot out of the Cosmic Cube. We see the Blood Brothers disappear in a blinding flash of light. And Iron Man wonders, did Thanos kill them? Or did he transport them to a worse fate? And things says, well, with that dude, never can tell. We got to be ready for him. And then Thing says, well, anyway, at least I got my ride home now. And Iron Man says, well, I hate to mention this, but, you know, that battle just used up all my energy preserves, and you're too heavy to carry, Ben. Sorry. And he flies off, and the Thing is left in the desert to keep trudging along and complaining as he's wont to do. So, you know, at least Iron Man could call in some kind of transport for him, call in an Avengers Quinjet, let the Fantastic Four know, and Wade can Reed can send the Fantastic Car. Like, no help at all? Just gonna let him wander the desert? That's pretty mean, man. I can't blame the Thing for being upset about that. So, this issue does spin directly out of Captain Marvel number 30. We saw early in that issue that Iron Man says he has something to do. He tells Captain Marvel, after Captain Marvel says that he doesn't want any help with the controller, Iron Man tells Captain Marvel, well, I have somewhere that I can go, some investigating I need to do. Because again, the rest of the Avengers have been defeated. They know Thanos has the Cosmic Cube. They're sort of preparing for a bigger battle. And this issue spins directly out of that. So there's not a lot here, to be honest. You know, Marvel feature wasn't like this really high-selling title. But it was a way to sort of team people up is what they used it for. And actually, with the Thing showing up a few times over the last few issues of Marvel feature, it sort of morphs into Marvel 2-in-1, where every month the Thing is teaming up with a different hero to go on adventures and defeat supervillains and such. So I'm not sure why they felt this story needed to be told. It doesn't, again, we're not getting some really fleshed out characterization from Thanos. I mean, Starlin is involved here, but only as the artist. He's not doing it. I don't know how much input he had into the plot. I mean, clearly Mike Friedrich is borrowing plot points and story points from the Iron Man issue, Iron Man 55, where Thanos first appeared. And obviously, Friedrich is borrowing from that to tell this story. But we're not getting a whole heck of a lot in terms of sort of forward momentum into the overall Thanos story. And Thanos himself, I don't know how much the characterization in this issue makes it seem like the Thanos that we know. I mean, certainly not the Thanos that we know now, but I've talked about that before, how much Thanos has changed over time and how much more complex and interesting he's become. So I'm fine with that. But again, it's just one of those issues where this is a comic very much of its time. You know, it's early 70s. I will say that with Starlin and Sinnott on the art, it's pretty solid art. I like the panel layouts. The action scenes are done really, really well. But with Sinnott inking him, this doesn't look like Starlin art to me. Like if you go and you look at the issues of Captain Marvel he's already done to this point, it looks like much more dynamic art. The lines are more fine, and the art overall just feels more refined. Here, it feels like a step back. And I don't know at what point did this issue get produced or drawn. You know, we only know when it eventually got released, because the art does tend to look like a little more like the early art that we saw Jim Starlin do, as opposed to the later stuff around issue 30, 31, after the Metamorphosis issue, where the quality of art really picks up. But again, he's working with a different inker that he hasn't worked with before, and maybe Sinnott just chose to make these changes to the artwork, and that's why it doesn't look quite so fine or finished or as polished as it usually does. So that does it for the issue. Again, there's not a lot there it is of its time, and as opposed to when Starlin's writing the Captain Marvel issues, with Thanos, and he's trying to imbue some characterization, Friedrich just goes for kind of the mustache twirling, and really Thanos only shows up in a couple panels anyway. The real antagonists of this issue are the Blood Brothers. So just a reminder, everybody, that you can go to the show notes to find the link to the Crushing Crisis Thanos reading order. Paul, who owns the site, runs the site, does an incredible job over there. It's a huge resource. There are tons of reading orders from Marvel, DC, Independent. You can sort by title. You can sort by character. It's really an invaluable resource, and I do urge everybody to go over there and check it out. If you're doing research, or you just want to read about a particular character, you know, from the beginning, there's all kinds of great info over there. So I do recommend everybody to go over there and check it out. Next time on the Marvel Chronology Thanos Reading Order, I'll be talking about Daredevil number 105, which I think I mentioned it on last week's episode. It seems the fact that there's a 3-arc Daredevil story in the midst of all this Thanos stuff, I find really strange. I flipped through the issues the other day, and it looks out there. It looks like out there stuff. So I really have no idea what to expect, but that's where we're going next with the chronology, Daredevil 105, 106, 107, and then we'll swing back over to Captain Marvel, which I believe issue 31 is the next one we need to cover. So looking forward to checking on all that stuff. This was a fun ride down memory lane, but this issue really goes to show what a special job Starlin was doing on Captain Marvel, especially when he got to take over the scripting duties as well, because when you look at this issue and see kind of what the quality of other comics at the time was, it just makes Starlin's stuff stand out even more in terms of originality and you know, artwork. I think he was doing the coloring as well. So you got to give a lot of credit to Jim Starlin for basically fully realizing these characters and making them compelling and interesting to the point that Thanos was on the big screen last year. He's coming back for Avengers Endgame in 2019. So, I mean, kudos to Starlin for making such a long-lasting and enduring character. And you kind of wonder what would have happened if Starlin wouldn't have been given Captain Marvel by Roy Thomas, right? What if, you know, he had that one shot on Iron Man and then that was it? That we'd have no Thanos, we'd have no Star Fox, Mentor, Drax the Destroyer. We'd have no Drax the Destroyer. All that stuff just kind of boggles my mind in a way, and just goes to show the talent that that Jim Starlin has. So, well, as I said, that's going to do it for this episode. Thanks for joining us, everybody. Please tell your friends about us. Subscribe and rate us on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, Google Play, or whatever platform you use. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. The Comic Source is a member of the LRM Podcast Network, so when you visit the site, be sure to check out some of our other podcasts like Los Fanboys, our official movie and TV podcast hosted by Joseph Jammer Medina, Netflix and Chill, hosted by Nick and Carrie, covering a wide variety of film and television topics with Game of Thrones and Star Wars as particular favorites, and finally, Mike and Mark's Marvelous Adventures, as these two former athletes share their love of sports and geek culture by chatting about anything and everything sports and geek related. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.